You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do. Wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. Keep your dial set at 89.9. We have some great, great times coming up here together this morning. I have Pastor Daryl Orman from First Baptist Church in Stuart, Florida. He's going to be with us in the first half of our hour. And I am excited to find out what all is going on over at First Baptist. Just when you thought they were forever a downtown church, you're going to find out God's given them some enlarged territory. Going to have one of the largest campuses in our county, and that is exciting, Pastor. And I also have Keith with me on the phone. Keith, you are our street witness, and you're always directing us to Psalm 91, and we have had reports of people still fighting COVID and a bunch of other crazy things, and thought it would be good to have you just come on and share Psalm 91 with us and open up our day with a moment of prayer, if you would do that.
Absolutely. Good morning, Jonathan. Thank you for having me. And Jonathan, I see in Psalm 91, verse 17, is a prayer in itself. And it says, and it reads, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. And yea, let the work of our hands establish thou it." And we just pray, Father God, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to touch these people and heal them, Lord. And it's in your word, Father God, that all these healings are working, Lord. It's through you. It's through the power of your Holy Spirit. We just ask you, Lord, for strength in your word, strength in your healing, Lord. And we just praise you and worship you. And here's Psalm 91. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91, the word of the Lord.
Amen. Keith, would you open us our Wednesday Live with prayer today?
Sure. Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together.
Thank you, Father.
And we just pray, Lord, in these difficult and troubled times, with fear trying to be spread upon the face of the earth, Lord, that we rebuke that fear, that we fight against it, Lord, with the shield of faith, and that we fight, Lord, with your word. For your word is everlasting and is truth, Lord. And we pray upon each and every one of your children now, Lord, that you bless us abundantly in your word and in your strength and in the shield, Lord, and fill us with the fruits of your spirit, Lord, to come to know you closer, stronger. And we thank you, Father God, for all your abundance, Lord, and your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and who covers us with his blood. And your mercy, Lord, is everlasting. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your everlasting love. And we just praise and we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. And we thank you, Lord, for this station and carrying out your word, Lord, and the works that they do in your name, Lord, and just continue to blendingly, continue to abundantly bless them.
Thank
we
you,
just
Father.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Keith, keep the witness strong in the street, brother. I know you're out there wherever Amen. The Holy Spirit leads you, and we're going to be looking for some updates real soon. God bless. Have an awesome day. Thanks for joining us.
God bless. Thank you, Jonathan. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Bye. Pastor Daryl Ormond.
Hey, Jonathan.
Welcome. Have not had a Daryl Ormond hug in a while, and, you know, I'm going to have to get that before you get out of here today. I sort of feel like I'm getting a chiropractic adjustment.
COVID hug.
COVID. Hallelujah. Well, how in the world are you doing? You have some exciting things to talk to us about today.
I do. Well, the Lord's just been blessing a vision that he laid on my heart 30 years ago. Next month, they'll be celebrating our 30th anniversary here. And
isn't that awesome?
Yeah, we were able to come up. And when we were called, I was pastoring in Broward County. We started a Christian school down there and started seven mission churches at my previous church. And so this church here, First Baptist of Stewart, their pulpit committee, came down and started talking to me. And when we came up to look at the church at that time, I-95 was not completed through Martin County.
Oh, that's right. It jumped, didn't it?
Yeah, so I didn't even know there was a Stewart. And, most of the country didn't because we would have to go to the turnpike and go right past it. And so when I came up, I was looking for the church. We came up to sneak in on a service, my family and I. And so I started asking, where's First Baptist Church of Stewart? And everyone directed us to First United Methodist
on
Colorado or kind of the Indicanor. It's Colorado.
And so we
kept getting directed there, even though it kind of stood out then downtown before all the other buildings were built. But so when I first came, the Lord just started speaking to my heart about us moving out on the Canner Highway corridor. And I put together a 21st Century Committee, and we studied logistics and different things. A couple of attorneys in the church were scouting out properties and this and that. And one of them was what was called Levi Johnson's farm. And that farm was there, but it was kind of being contested in probate or whatever.
Right.
And so the attorney said, probably pastor better just stay away from this. So we did. And we were looking and kind of came to a point of death of a vision, really.
You mean 30 years ago you were actually looking?
Correct.
Wow.
And we walked over properties that are now communities and developments.
Sure.
Because then Canner was a two-lane highway.
Right.
And, you know, we had one of the DOT guys in our church saying this is going to be developed out soon. There was only one bridge to Palm City. And,
right.
You know, and they told us that bridge was going to come through. And so wanted to try to get there, but, you know, it just was death of a vision. And went through church, typical South Florida church transitions in the life of our church
right.
a couple of times and through the years. And I just kind of really died to it. And about 3.5 years ago, Pat Stracuzzi is a dear friend. In fact, I had the privilege to pray with him to receive Christ in New England Fish House. He took me out to dinner. And his son Jack is on fire for Jesus, and we endorsed him for Liberty, and he's going to Liberty now. And Jack's just a fervent soul winner. And so the three of us are having dinner, and Pat said, "Pastor, I need to pray that sinner's prayer with you. I need to give my life to Christ." Well, Pat had contacted me 3.5 years ago about selling our church, and said, "Not interested." You know, I had talked to the city years ago when I first came. And in fact, it was in the papers. The First Baptist Stewart has a new pastor and talking to the city, and they made a commitment to stay in that area. And they were really interested in getting our property and moving, because, you know, we're not on the tax rolls. It's tax exempt.
Sure.
And so are they on the big water.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked some back and forth and just didn't pull the trigger on it. I had the chairman of our committee had been a nuclear sub commander and was the plant manager for the nuclear plant, a real A personality. And he said, "Pastor, let's have this vote. You know, we'll get about 65-70% vote, and let's do it." And I said, "I don't want that kind of a vote, you know." And
right.
Now, looking back, I wish I'd let him do it, you know, because, you know.
This is in the church you're talking about.
In the church, about, you know.
I know how
moving
that goes.
And building. Yeah.
It's better if you have 100%.
Yeah, but there's no such thing. In fact, for Southern Baptists, they say.
Oh, for Southern Baptists.
If you get three Southern Baptists, you got four opinions, you know.
I thought that was what my Jewish friends told me. Southern Baptist too, huh?
You're pretty, well, you know church life.
I do.
The revolving door down here, the 25% that would have voted against it are probably gone anyway.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so, he started talking to us about that. A guy started negotiating with us about buying it, and it kind of moved around to there. And then the Methodist Church, First United, had bought this property, 40 acres on 76, in 2002.
Mm.
And they were active there at first, doing a few things, some of their Christmas plays and things, and I think had Bible studies in the ranch house there and all that, but then pretty much abandoned it about probably, years ago, several years ago. And so I started thinking about that, and I talked to one of our men. He just sold, a businessman, retired contractor in our church, just sold commercial property down in Broward County. And I said, "Jack, you know, why don't you contact the Methodist Church as a businessman, you know, and see if there's interest in selling it." And so he called him and said, "Pastor, sorry, it's under contract. You know, it's not on the market anymore." And there's a guy offering him $4.25 million for it, and it's got 700 square foot of frontage on 76, and pretty deep, really deep, and 40 acres, like a 3/4 mile long. And so when he contacted me, he said, "Sorry, Pastor, it's off the market." About a week or two later, I just didn't have a piece about it in my spirit. And we've got a real estate broker in the church, and so I asked her, "Would you contact them again? I know they said it's under contract." And she contacted them, and she said, she called me right back, "Pastor, you won't believe it, but they pulled the contract on that guy. He changed the usage, and they didn't like it, and it's wide open again." I mean, that day.
That day. That's God.
A couple of weeks later.
That's God.
And so.
That's God.
I said, "Well, let's put together an offer." So we offered them $3.5 million and said, you know, we knew they had about two in it, and said, you know, "We'll come up with two, and if you'll carry it $500,000 a year for 3 years."
Yeah.
Their pastor liked the idea. Their board liked the idea. Their attorney hated the idea. He said, "You're not going to take the Baptist to court to get the money." Of course, you know, we would pay it. And one of our men, another broker or contractor in the church, said there's deal makers and deal breakers.
Yeah.
So we wound up renegotiating with them again for the $3.5 million, and we borrowed the Florida Baptist Convention. Has given us a loan of $2 million, and we came up with $1.5 million in 9 months.
That's pretty great.
And so we were able to close May 10th. And just the vision for it, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. And when you're going down 76, when you cross over Pomeroy, there's a little right turn corner. And then as soon as you turn, 76 straightens out for 1 mile.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look straight down that highway, there's a tall Australian pine right at the end of that mile. And you're driving straight toward it for 1 mile.
Mm.
And we'd like to see a 40-foot cross there.
Right there.
Right there.
Really, really.
29,000 vehicles pass by there every day.
Wow, that's awesome. Mm.
And so they'll be driving to the cross for a mile.
I love it.
And
I love it.
We'd like to have on our sign a contemporary quote from Jesus, like with quotation marks, "You must be born again."
Contemporary.
Well, no, what I mean is not like a verse.
Right,
but,
right.
But not a John 3 verse, 3:3 or whatever, but just actually a
message there.
A quotation, "You must be born again, Jesus Christ."
Yeah, there you go.
Right on the sign. Yeah, yeah, everybody driving by, "You must be born again."
And you must.
And you must. Yeah. We've called the farm Reborn Farm because we're giving it a new birth.
New birth, amen.
Yeah, and our folks, there's volunteers out there today working. And
wow, that's awesome.
And, you know, we're going to put up a pavilion there and probably get it up in November or so and start having some Sunday morning, just a short service at like an 8 to 9 for folks where they could drive right into the pavilion all around it, get out in their board shorts and sandals and and have service for an hour with us and then head to the beach or whatever. And then we'll go back to the big church downtown and,
and have our main service,
you know, down
air conditioned service.
Air conditioned. And that's a big deal. Our seniors, Pastor, I'm not going in a pavilion in the summer.
Well, you're talking
even if Jesus is there.
We love you, but, right?
Unless he's got a fan. Of course, he does say he has a fan in his hand.
That's pretty awesome.
That's kind of, we're wanting to move our Christian school there. We've got a traditional school that believes in patriotism and believes that all races are equal in the sight of God, not one above another. In fact, in one of the chapels, I spoke to him and I said, you know, which of these statements are racist? All, you know, white lives matter, brown lives matter, black lives matter. All of those are racist.
Yeah, they are.
The only non-racist statement is all lives matter.
Amen.
All lives.
Yeah.
And we're in just such a tumble now, a Marxist tumble in our country. It's incredible. And unfortunately, the pulpits aren't railing on it as they should.
Too silent.
Yeah.
Well, completely.
Yeah.
Complicitous almost.
Yeah.
And so with our Christian school, traditional Christian school, that God founded this country, and our founding fathers were godly men, most of them abolitionists and wanted to do it. In fact, that's why they said in our documents, all men are created equal before God, which was a revolutionary statement 200 years ago.
Mm.
But they said that because of their Christianity.
Right.
And when you go through their quotes, the quotes of George Washington in his field journal, "I'm praying for the blood of Jesus to cover my men in the field and protect their souls as they strive for God," and so forth and so on. And you got the Supreme Court in the 1800s saying, this is unequivocally a Christian nation, and it was then.
Yes.
And, you know, so our Christian school, I mean, we could double it right now. Everybody's fleeing the CRT, they're fleeing all the LGBTQXLMNOPQRST.
UV.
You know, like 29 sexes, have you lost your mind?
Right.
Insane. You know, and people say, oh, you're not loving to say that. No, you're not scientific. You're not spiritual. You're not scriptural to say anything, but there is a man and a woman. God said, male and female created I them, period. And that was not even debatable 10 years ago.
Right.
and all this confusion and really child abuse on these kids.
Yeah, it really is.
Across
it really
the nation.
Is abuse.
And
really
we
is.
we better just call it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion and the wicked flee when no one's chasing them. Years ago, I was teaching a single young man in our, he was going to college to witness, and we were at Overton Park in Memphis, walked into a pavilion, and there was a group of middle schoolers sitting on picnic tables smoking dope, smoking marijuana. And I said, there's our congregation. So I took David over there. We're going to share Jesus with them. It's about a dozen of them.
Yeah.
So I started sharing Jesus with them. And then these four thugs came up, like 18 to 22, yeah. 23.
Tough guys.
Yeah. Started cussing at me, you know, about Jesus and mocking and all that. And I turned around and said, hey, you, and I pointed at them, you need to know Jesus. And I started walking toward them. All four of them ran into the public bathroom there in the pavilion. And they held the door closed and wouldn't let me get in. And I had not memorized this verse, but I turned to those middle schoolers and I said, the righteous are bold as a lion, and the wicked flee when no one's chasing them. And I was saying, let me in. I want to talk to you about Jesus.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't.
What an object lesson
they
for those kids.
It was. And I went back and six of the 12 gave their life to Christ.
Oh, praise God.
God. You know, but you know, we just need to, we're much more afraid of what people think of us than God.
Yeah.
And that's completely reversed.
Right.
The fear of man is a snare.
Yeah.
You know, and I've just decided a long time ago, if no one comes to hear me, as long as I'm speaking the whole counsel of God, and I'm going to stand before him and I will not be ashamed. And I can have brothers, and some of them I know well throughout our convention, that can be running thousands, and they won't say that homosexuality is sin.
Yeah,
they won't say that abortion is murder.
Right.
You know, they won't do these things. And my wife said, Daryl, you know, the political stuff. And I said, I know, honey, but it's a fire in my bones.
Yeah. Mm.
Years ago, I was at a conference with D. James Kennedy from Coleridge Presbyterian, one of the great moral compasses of our nation.
He was.
Founded Evangelism Explosion, even though he was a sovereignty Presbyterian. and he was criticized by some of his Presbyterian brethren.
Sure.
One of the greatest evangelism tools ever created, Evangelism Explosion. Well, I went to lunch with him one time. He witnessed to the waitress. Well, we're at this conference, and someone asked him, they said, Dr. Kennedy, you know, you're not to speak of politics and religion because it's offensive. And he said, what are the two most important things in our lives for this life and for eternity? Politics and religion. And then they said, well, you can't legislate morality. And he said, well, pray tell, what do you legislate? All legislation either legislates morality or immorality.
Mm-hmm.
And immorality is not, if any laws in the world that don't line up with Scripture and with God the Creator, they're immoral laws.
Right, right, true.
We finally overturned one with abortion. And this goes into another point. And for my black brothers and sisters, you know, I feel for them because they've been told a lie. The Democratic Party does not represent them. It's trying to exterminate them.
Yeah, really is.
This is a genocide.
Really
is. Yeah. They're fighting for abortion even now with it overturned. They're come to our states, we'll pay your way.
Yeah.
80% of all the abortion clinics in minority neighborhoods. Blacks are 13% of our population nationwide. They're one-third of the abortions.
That's something.
And the Democrats are the champions for that.
They are.
They're trying to kill their constituency.
Yeah.
And I'm just praying for black pastors to stop drinking that Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And I've had some black pastors contact me and say, Pastor, I've re-registered as a Republican.
Yeah.
I've had several of them do that. And they say, and what's funny is the two greatest black pastors in the history of our nation, Frederick Douglass and Martin Luther King Jr., were both Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we could be a part of no other party. This is the party of freedom. Abraham Lincoln, first Republican president. This whole thing about Democrats being for minorities is a lie straight from hell. Mm. Period.
Yeah.
And I know this will probably upset some listeners, but research it. Don't be blind. jumping off the cliff. Those pigs, when Jesus cast the demons in the pigs, they all ran off the cliff and drowned. First case of deviled ham in the Bible. You know, don't do that. But anyway, we're talking about growing a church, so you know, hopefully some people. The Lord told me if you preach the truth, eventually they'll come. I'm still waiting. And we'll see what happens. But you know, we're being intimidated. Everybody's fearful. You know, I'm going to get in trouble. Well, so what? So what?
Yeah.
Years ago, I opened our state legislature in prayer, and I prayed for all the unborn babies in mothers' wombs across the state, and for marriage as God designed it between one man and one woman for life. The Democrats walked out of the prayer, and I closed in Jesus' name. They were offended by that.
Right.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz was the leader, was leading that, and later become the head, one of the heads of the Democratic Party. And so it was written up in USA Today, the prayer, the controversy of that. Couldn't believe it. Just a basic pastor prayer, I thought.
Yeah.
And so they called. My daughter answered the phone. She was a teenager, Shay, and they said, this sweet reporter from over in Tampa, and she said, oh, your pastor's, your dad's in trouble, dear, you know. And she said, he's always in trouble. He doesn't care. The woman started laughing on the phone, you know, wanted to interview. And so it's interesting just living for Jesus. And we've got to look past this life.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah, we did.
And we've got to be faithful. He hasn't called us to be successful or famous or loved. He hasn't called us to be influencers in the network.
Yeah.
He's called us to be faithful.
Amen.
And with that, I'm just praying, you know, that when we relocate, that God would just fill the place.
Amen.
Fill the place.
Amen.
With his glory. And it's interesting, people saying, I'm a Christian, I'm living for the Lord, I'm obedient, and they're loving what God hates.
Yeah. Mm.
They're loving what God hates. God said, I hate the death of the innocent. He doesn't say, I just don't like it. He says, I hate it. And he said he hates perversion. Read Romans chapter 1. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And, you know, and there's believers all over the country now, millions and millions and millions, and compromising pastors that, you know, are compromising the truth of God. And you can't do that. You can't do that. We can make our own gods. Everybody does it all the time.
Sure.
But there is the God of the Bible, and you better represent him. You better represent him. And this, I came every year that I've been a pastor, when there's a presidential election year, I'll preach a series of messages on the biblical worldview. And I'll take the Democratic Party platform, the Republican Party platform, and the biblical principles, the scriptures, and compare the three of them. And I've done that every presidential election, because as shepherds, we're to guide our sheep. I was watching one of the famous pastors here on television, and before the election in 20, he had set up a mock election center with the little foldable booths and all that. He's walking around in it, and I thought, he's going to get there. And he said, everyone needs to vote. It's a Christian citizen responsibility. And he talked some generalities about morality. And then at the end, he said, I was going to send out the voter guide on where all the people stand, you know, the candidates. And he said, I thought that would just be too controversial and would offend people, so we didn't do it. And I said, he walked down it. He didn't get there.
Yeah.
He didn't get there. You got to call it what it is. You got to call sin, sin. And so this time, for the last 2 years, I really crossed over the Rubicon, where for the Democrats, I just said, you know, there are millions and millions and millions of Christians voting for the Democrats. And it used to be there was just tonal differences. But John F. Kennedy all the way through, those guys wouldn't be Democrats now.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan was a Democrat. Donald Trump was a Democrat.
Yeah.
And they Newt Gingrich was a Democrat, and they switched out as things started changing, and now it's gotten so much worse. They are the party of Marxism, lawlessness at the border, abortion, perversion. I mean, you cannot embrace those and be an obedient Christian. Now, you can be saved, you're going to heaven, but why not be an obedient Christian? Why not obey and represent God, the God of the Bible? And so now they'll just say, well, the scriptures aren't true. Well, you can do that. It's like a kid covering their eyes saying, I'm hiding and you can't see me.
Yeah.
But God can see us.
You know, Daryl, the other day I was talking with a pastor, and I told him, I said, I thank God that you are willing to address issues that put you in a place where you will be charged with controversy, that you're stirring up controversy. And he said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, I'm complimenting you. I'm telling you that you're not backing down from biblical truth to confront the evil that is in our land. Daryl, if the church does not do this, there is no other voice.
There is no other voice. Yeah. If it weren't for the Catholics, there wouldn't have been a pro-life movement.
Yes.
After I prayed that prayer in Tallahassee, I got calls from priests, these Irish brogue guys. You know, I'm Irish. My middle name's Patrick. When I'm Pastor Roman, I'm so proud of you, brother. You know, you had the boldness, and I'm praising God for you. Yeah, I said, thank you, brother priest. You know, you know.
Wow.
But, you know, it's Jerry Falwell at school when we were at Liberty. He said, everyone in the foxhole with you is on your side when it comes to the moral battles and the political battles that are in the social battles that are in our country. And we don't need to shoot our allies, you know. Mm-hmm. And in those, that doesn't mean we embrace their theology. It doesn't mean that, you know, and some of them in the cults aren't going to heaven. Some of the most patriotic among us are the Mormons, because they believe the Constitution was inspired by God, like the Bible.
Right. Right.
You know, but that's, we don't believe that.
That doesn't get him to heaven.
It doesn't get you to heaven to be a patriot.
No.
It doesn't get you to heaven. I've had guys say, oh, I tell people, don't cuss around me. Well, they're going to cuss everywhere else. They need to they need to get right with God.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, that's it. It's not us.
So this is a come to Jesus moment, Pastor. And
help it.
Well, yeah, I'm glad.
Help it.
I'm glad, but you need to go ahead, and people are listening today. There's a lot of different emotions that are being stirred up, and some would say that, you know, and I get calls like this. I get calls from people saying, you're too political, you know, in your station. You have people on there, you know, they're too positional. And it's like, well, Jesus did that. John the Baptist did that, you know, and God's called us to do it as well.
He said, you're whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. Now, on Facebook, he would be defriended.
Yeah. Yeah,
really. Jesus would be defriended.
For that, yeah.
He would.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
He would. And you know, if you offend these little children.
By the Temple Institute.
If you're a pedophile, then, you know, I'm going to tie a millstone, a grinding stone around your neck and throw you in the river.
See, yeah.
That sounds real loving. Yeah. Defriend Jesus. Yeah. Defriend Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you know, it's terrible. It's horrible. And it's horrible how much people are willing to embrace error for popularity.
Yep, true. True.
You know.
True.
It really is. And just research it. The things I've even mentioned about the Democrats. I had Carol Swain come speak at our church, who was the head of the law department at Vanderbilt. And Carol Swain was a homeless mom on welfare, struggling. And she said, a white woman, she's a black lady, and she said a white woman took her aside and said, you're brilliant, Carol, you should get a degree, and helped her go to college. And then she's got several doctorates. But she was radical. She wrote helped write radical opinions for the Supreme Court years ago. She was a black feminist. She was a predecessor of CRT, kind of. So she was working at Princeton and then negotiated the contract at Vanderbilt. And she, in her brilliance, negotiated a 2-year sabbatical on the front end. So she got her sabbatical at Vanderbilt before she ever taught a class. But they recruited her because she was radical.
Right.
And she got saved. Mm. Saved during her sabbatical. And when she came to, and then discipled, and when she came to school to start teaching, she had gone from this radical black woman to a spirit-filled evangelical Christian, and was controversial her entire tenure there. Mm. Constantly had students, but she researched the whole thing as far as the black involvement with the Republican Party and the racism of the Democratic Party. And so I had her come speak at our church, and I interviewed her for about an hour and a half that Sunday night, and we cut it into three radio broadcast, and y'all broadcast, it was broadcast years ago. And, you know, we had one brilliant black attorney in our church, and she said, that woman's crazy, you know, because she was still holding on to some of her Democratic roots.
Right.
And I said, no, she's just being truthfully historical.
Yeah.
Truthfully historical. But God bless all the truth speakers, you know.
Amen. Amen. And strengthen them.
And truth is not my truth. It's not because I'm saying it.
Right. It's not a Baptist truth.
No, it's not. No, it's because it's the historical facts.
Yeah.
Just like the resurrection of Christ.
Right.
Dr. Simon Greenleaf, Royale Professor of Law, Harvard University, agnostic Jew, wrote a series of three commentaries on testimonies in court. And in those, you know, it basically described what would be a good testimony. You know, the circumstances, eyewitness account, corroborating evidence, so forth and so on. Those three books were used as textbooks in our law schools for decades across the nation. One of his Christian students at Harvard raised his hand and said, Dr. Greenleaf, I'd like to challenge you to take your evidence, your evidentiary findings, and I'd like you to subject the resurrection of Christ to that criteria. He said, I'll take that challenge, young man. So he began to go to Washington Library, other places across the world as a side hobby, researching original sources. And he wrote a book called The Testimony of the 12 Evangelists. I have it in my library. And his conclusion at the end of it, he said, in any objective court of the world, the resurrection of Christ would stand as a fact of history, period. And at the time he published it, according to his own criteria, he was a hostile witness because he was still an agnostic Jew.
Right.
He didn't believe it for himself, but he said, this is where the evidence goes. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And then before he died, Dr. Greenleaf received Jesus as his Messiah.
Amen. Praise God.
As his Jewish Messiah. And we'll see Dr. Greenleaf in heaven. But, Amen. You know, this is just, that's because that's evidence. Evidence that demands a verdict, as Josh Amen. McDowell used to say.
Amen. Amen.
You know.
We're kind of getting out of time.
Good.
I knew when you came in that you would be fully loaded. And so I'm so glad you're here today. I would like for you to again do what you do every time you come and share with those who are listening what they need to do to get their heart right. Because the head can follow the heart. And a lot of people, they go, oh, you know, I just don't understand all this. But I have found that when God changed my heart, it helped my thinking straighten out a lot.
That's right.
And so I am speaking with Pastor Daryl Orman from First Baptist Church, Stuart, Florida. And we did start with talking about the moving of your campus.
That's right.
From downtown Stuart to 76, and this is in process already. It's taking place. Nice, beautiful 40-acre piece of land. I've been on it. And I'm thrilled that the kingdom of God is advancing this way and that you, my brother, are leading the charge with that. And so we definitely, as a family of listeners, want to celebrate the growth and advancement of the kingdom with you.
Thank you.
And we thank God for that. But we also want to give you an opportunity to do what you do really well, and that's call people to Jesus.
The ranch house that's on that property, we're going to keep it for a couple of years, use it as for restrooms, office
support,
space,
yeah.
you know, till we get to the big thing.
Yep.
And one of the walls is full of bees. So I was at Home Depot day before yesterday getting some wasp and bee killer and some of the spray. And my grandson, Gabe, was with me. He's 6 years old, blonde hair, blue eyed, beautiful boy, great little athlete. And one of the workers there at Home Depot, his name is Greek. It's like Herculean, like a form of Hercules. And he starts talking to me real warmly, and usually that's a sign when God wants me to witness to somebody. Mm. Actually, generally the sign is if they're breathing. but besides that, amen, you know, so I start sharing with Herculean, and he prays to receive Christ. Praise and God. While he's praying a sinner's prayer to accept Christ, Gabe comes over and grabs on to the cone of my elbow with both hands.
Wow.
Because he wanted to be a part
of
it.
That matters, yeah.
He prayer walks. He wants to be a soul winner.
Praise God.
And I told him, he's 6 years old, I said, someday you're going to be my youth pastor. When you grow up.
Yeah.
And of course, we always need them, here in Florida, right. South Florida. So anyway, right. He prayed to receive Christ. And basically what I shared with him, I asked him, in your personal opinion, what do you understand it takes for a person to go to heaven when you die? And he shared a few things, beliefs, good works, different things. And then I shared with him the gospel that Jesus didn't come to prosper us, and sometimes our life can be hard. Hmm. But he did come to save us. And that it's not, house, clothes, food, car, vacation, retirement.
Right.
It's not all those things. He said, I came so you can have life and have it more abundantly. And he wants to give us the eternal life. He said, out of your innermost being can flow rivers of living water. But our problem is our sin nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Talking about the things earlier, abortion is murder, homosexuality, pedophilia, all the other things as being immorality and all that. We all sin. We're all sinners. All of us. We all have a fallen sin nature. We all need Christ.
Yes.
Everybody needs Christ. And it's not that we're saying we're better than anybody else. We need that salvation. Amen. So he tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. So no one will brag or boast.
Amen.
And so I just asked Hercules, and I said, here's a prayer I prayed years ago. Does this prayer express the desire of your heart? Is this what you'd like Jesus to do for you? And he said, yes, I would. And the prayer I led him in is, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for dying on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to ask you to come into my life and take control of my life. Be my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Thank you for dying for me. I love you, and I'll live for the rest of my life. So I'd like to lead our listeners with that prayer.
Let's do it.
If the Lord is knocking at their door, if he's drawing them. And if he is, or if you're not sure of your relationship with Christ, 100% sure, just pray this prayer with me and say, Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and forgive all of my sins. Thank you for dying for me. I love you, and I will live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I just want to ask you to be with everyone out there that's prayed and everyone that's listening, and maybe even some who are stinging, hurting, even over some of the things that have been shared, some of the things I've shared. I just pray, Lord, that you would give us all a hunger and thirst to research for ourselves, to search out the truth. We thank you for the truth, more importantly, of any other truth, that you are resurrected from the dead,
amen,
that you are alive.
Amen.
And Lord, you want to come and give us an abundant life.
Amen.
But we must be convicted. The bad news, Lord, as you know, makes the good news the good news.
Mm.
And the fact that we are sinners and that we do need salvation, it must be heard. And we just want to tell you, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor, thank you so much. And we're going to be inviting you back because you're a dear friend, and we will want to stay caught up on what's going on. and hear the good news. I want to get under that tiki or whatever that's going to be down there. Okay.
Well, we're going to have a dedicatory prayer time.
Okay.
The 31st at around 12:30. We're having our service downtown, just driving over for a short prayer time.
Okay.
Heat tolerance for our people.
Heat tolerance, you know? Yeah. And I'm wimpy.
We've got a temporary tent up, and anyone that'd like to come and pray with us,
praise
God. We'd love for them to do it and just worship the Lord with
us.
How
can people find First Baptist?
They could call us. It's, first of all, fbcstewart.org.
There you go.
If they just want to hit the internet or just search First Baptist Church of Stewart.
Or listen in on Sunday morning right here.
Listen here from 11 to 12 for the last 20 years.
Yep.
And we also are on YouTube. We're on Facebook. And we have our services broadcast, not high quality, but cheap style. economy style on economy. Facebook.
There you go.
We're actually using an iPhone that's sitting in a stand.
And
we don't have any expenses with that, but we're being frugal.
It works.
It works.
Yeah.
You know, you see it, you hear it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll fix that later.
Eventually, yeah, with
eventually.
The new facilities.
Sure.
Well, God bless you and congratulations. We celebrate with you for your faithfulness.
Amen.
And a gentleman you might remember, his name was Jim Way. Jim Way told me, Jonathan, keep your eye on First Baptist Church of Stewart. It's a pillar church. God raised them up many years ago. Many churches have been started out of that church, but that church continues to stand as a bright light in the darkness. And so from our mutual acquaintance,
a good buddy.
Word. Yeah, right.
We competed.
Me tell you.
And he was good. He was good.
He was good. And I'll never forget the day that there was a big discussion over where the rough started. I remember that. Jim had a little different opinion from some of the other council that was there. Daryl, thank you. Pastor Orman, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, John.
And thank you for being my friend.
I thank God for
your friendship. I know you do.
I
know
do.
You do. And I thank God for you.
Amen.
Want to be a blessing to you. All right, guys, we've got to get on. We just have a few moments left, and I want to give Karen an opportunity. You have some mail to share.
Yes, I have one little short letter here from Rick in Fort Pierce saying, thank you. Keep up the good work and keep up God's work. So we just want to say thanks to Rick for that nice little note. And, you know, we really do love getting these little notes in the mail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do.
We love getting the phone calls from our listeners, and we really appreciate each and every one of you.
We do. Even the complaints.
Complaints? Do we have complaints?
Well, we always discuss the complaints.
We do, and, you know,
we do.
You are welcome to share your heart with us. Whether you
and we will listen.
We will listen.
We will listen. And someone the other day said, I was shocked that you called me back. I said, well, why wouldn't we call you back?
Yeah. Right.
Because if you're part of the kingdom of God or you're listening and you care enough to give us a call or send us a note, we want to hear what you have to say. And we will take it seriously and we will consider that. But understand that we have many different programmers. We do not control all the media that comes out through all of our programmers. That does not necessarily speak for this station, because the station is here to bring you the gospel through those programs that we have. But we do thank you for contacting us. Sometimes we might be able to address some of these things. Sometimes we may not, but we certainly can listen, and we do care. All right, I do need to mention, since this hour, in part, is sponsored by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, that there is a pastor's event that is coming up. This is for senior pastors. And so, senior pastors, it is a life planning seminar. Life planning seminar, and this is going to be in the Fort Pierce area, Hazley Reception Center, 3015 Okeechobee Road, Fort Pierce, Florida. And this is going to be there's going to be some little bit of food shared with us there. I think a little bit of a breakfast, light breakfast, and discussion. But Chris Fogle, who's been a CPA in our area for a long time. He's also the executive director of the Alliance, is going to be sharing some of the important things about planning for the day that no one wants to talk about. Well, I think we need to talk about it. One day I'm going to go to heaven. And when I go to heaven, I need to make sure that my affairs are left in proper order. And so senior pastors, come out and join us. You can call the station. You need more information, or else you can go to tccalliance.com. That would be for Treasure Coast Alliance.com, tccalliance.com. And, of course, you could also call 772-834-5316. Now, I understand Ma and Paul is somewhere here close, and they are in a red rush. Well, guess what, Ma and Paul? We're glad you're here. Just stop by the station. I'm told you just have a few minutes. So welcome, folks. What's on your mind today?
Well, Jonathan, Paul and I were on our way to get his pickup fixed, and the Lord told us to stop in and give you all a word of encouragement.
Uh-huh. For sure, Ma. We've been deep in prayer for the last few weeks about all this inflation business in America. I know a lot of folks are wrapped around the axle about it, and we've been finding ourselves frustrated and angry, too.
That's right. But we know that Christians have to face challenges with a strong faith and with a powerful witness about God's grace.
Yeah. Well, not like old Buford Clink, Pastor. Well, I ran into him yesterday at the grocery store. I got to tell you, he's all depressed about this inflation. He's openly weeping in public. Why, he just had a few items in his shopping basket, and he said, "I know this is going to cost me over $100. Well, he looked down in the basket. Tears was dripping from his face onto a pound package of hamburger, some skinny carrots, a box of cheap macaroni, and a block of that Velveeta fake cheese.
You know, and I spoke to his wife, Bromelia, just yesterday, and she was saying that old Buford started checking out those dumpsters behind the grocery store and some of those fancy restaurants on Main Street.
Oh, man. It's getting kind of tough for folks on fixed incomes, but when the prices go up, but their income don't. And that's what the Spirit pointed out to us in our prayer this morning. At the end of the day, it's all about trusting in God.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted to share with your listeners, Jonathan. You know, I can't figure out why more folks haven't turned to the Lord these days. How can anyone figure out how to manage their lives in such a chaotic world without Christ?
You know, reading the Bible over the years, there's such a strong sense of human history in all of it. And how, you know, in every age, people have always had to deal with challenges and suffering. I mean, every age. And through it all, those who choose God and follow Him and lean on Him for everything always come out doing good.
Yeah, times like this are perfect seasons to encourage people to turn to the Lord for a relationship that He inspires and empowers, not just for our eternal salvation, but for His governance and guiding our daily lives with His wisdom.
Yeah, Ma. Don't we know that our own wisdom is flawed and limited? Well, it's kind of like me entering a NASCAR race on a skateboard.
Yeah, the truth is, God don't want His children to fail, and He ain't going to leave them twisting in the wind during the hard times. But the truth also is, we have to make our choice to come to Christ and receive all of Him into our hearts and our lives. He ain't going to force us to do that, even when He knows we're in difficult times. He honors our free will.
He sure does. You know, old Filbert Conway came to an understanding of that just last week.
Filbert Conway? What happened to him?
Well, you know, he's always been critical of us Christians, and he's made it plain to folks he thinks churches are full of hypocrites. Well, last week he got a terrible diagnosis from his doctor. Stage 4 lung cancer, and it just threw him for a loop.
Well, he does smoke like a California forest fire, Pa.
True enough. But after he left his doctor, he went by Bert's feed store, and he looked so down, Bert asked him what was ailing him, and old Filbert just broke down in tears and told him. So Bert, being the believer he is, asked Filbert if he could pray for him. Normally, Filbert would have yelled at him and stalked off, but this time he said yes.
Wow. Well, you got to know Jesus is coming soon when a fellow like old Philbert's willing to be prayed for.
And the next day, he got up in the morning, and he felt so good, he drove right to his doctor's office and demanded a new diagnosis. Well, after all them x-rays and such, the doctor said they couldn't find anything wrong with him.
Glory be. So old Philbert finally realized he could have a better life with Jesus?
Truly, Ma. And we're going to see him in church this Sunday.
Well, there you go. And that's the kind of thing the Lord wanted us to share with your listeners today, Jonathan. There is hope in Christ. No one has to face hard times alone. Left only with their limited personal resources and trying to think themselves out of today's troubles, God is ready right now to fill your life with his wonderful riches of grace.
And all it will cost you is the time to willingly invite Jesus into your heart, confess your sins, and ask for the new life he has for you.
That's always good news. Ma and Paul, thank you for taking the time to visit with us today and to share this life-changing message with us and our listeners. We have found in our own personal spiritual journeys that God is always faithful and never gives up on us, so don't give up on yourself. Rather than giving up, why not just give everything over to Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I like all of that. Mom, Paul, thank you for dropping in today. We always enjoy the wisdom and insight and the message that comes our way. And, you know, there's some new things. We have just a couple minutes here as we're getting ready to close. Some new things that are always in the works at WCNO, such as some new programming. And one of those new programs is A New Day with Rhett Palmer.
Yes.
And we have been kind of working our way through the setup of that. And Karen, you've been a big part of assisting in that. And Dave, you've been involved some. I have as well. And where are we with that? What's taking place with that program today?
Well, you know, as the listeners would know, so we, you know, there was a 7 a.m. 15-minute program, and then a 1 hour 3 p.m. program, and you know, with different people 5 days a week, and just
interviews and such forth.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. So maybe you'd hear a portion of the interview in the morning, and then you'd hear the entire interview in the afternoon, and you know, Rhett just decided to do a 15-minute program. So you will hear one individual's interview spread out over the 4 days. So 7 a.m., 3 a.m., and 3 p.m.
Three times daily, same program.
Correct. So, you know, so Monday through Friday you'll hear, is we were just doing this week with Pastor Littleton.
Yeah, great interview.
Yes. So rather than trying to, you know, do it all in at one time, because a lot of people are not listening in the afternoon.
Sure.
And so he figured that more people would be able to hear, wanted them to hear the entire interview in the mornings. So we would spread the program out over the 5 days, Monday through Friday.
So tune in daily.
Tune in daily.
And I know, you know, some people have noticed a little bit of change, but you know, the only change is we have added a couple programs. I mean, otherwise, all of our main programs, I guess you might say the primary national syndicated programs, those are all the same. We haven't removed any of those. We still have our times for music and such forth. But Rhett is a brother that has 28 years in secular radio. He's he's a godly man. And he is excited to be sort of developing his gifts to bring them on Christian radio. And so we're working with him in this process. Listen, be patient with us as we seek to follow God in these days. And, you know, pray for us. Give us your thoughts and your ideas. Let us know where your heart is and what the Lord is saying to you. And I want to thank all of you who give on a regular basis to make this ministry possible. We are a nonprofit, much like your local church. We don't get to pass the offering basket every week, But a couple times a year, we do have what we call prayer and share. It's a time where we come to you and we ask you to prayerfully give. That will be coming up in October, our next one. And I wanted to just give you the report that as of this date, $172,786 have come in so far toward meeting that $205,000 budget that we had. And incidentally, that budget is going to